Hello, and welcome to the Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. Today is Thursday, December 29th, and my name is Nathan King. During this season, we'll be reading passages of Scripture and devotional thoughts from our Advent devotional guide titled, Dwell, God with Us. Today, I'll be reading Romans 8, and after I read the passage, I'll share some of my devotional thoughts on the passage. I'll be reading today's message in the New Revised Standard Version. We'll start in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of our sinful flesh, and to deal with the sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is in the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may be also glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today's devotion is titled, A Hard Road to Hope in the Not Yet. While reading the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, one thing that I found to be particularly gripping was verses 24 and 25. And they read, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Now, I think this is compelling, given the season that we find ourselves in. Winter, depending on where you live, tends to be dry, bleak, silent, and filled with an abundance of death. Trees have lost their leaves, the grass has turned brown, and many animals seclude themselves for hibernation. There seems to be a mass, quote, waiting that creation embarks on during this season. We all know that spring is just around the corner, but when caught in the depths of the frost and freezing temperatures, it's really difficult to imagine that it'll ever be warm again. But we know it'll come. It always does. This natural cycle of the seasons doesn't seem too far off from seasons that emerge in our lives. This includes the winters. And I'm sure most of us are too familiar with the feeling that our lives have plunged into a deep, dark winter that doesn't seem to offer much warmth. Depression, loss, anxiety, loneliness, addiction, burnout, whatever it may be, we all know that these are part of our human experience. And it may seem like there is no end in sight, no spring, no warmth, no light. But just as the trees and the hibernating animals silently hope for spring to come, we have an invitation to hope in that which is unseen. We have the opportunity to hope in the abundant life Jesus offers. As Jesus' life did not end in death, neither will ours, with our hearts tethered to Christ's love. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you so, so much for today, and thank you for allowing me the chance to lead the congregation in this devotion. God, I ask that you speak to us in our hearts through these tough seasons, because we all know that these seasons can get the best of us, that they can really take a toll on us. But if we choose, if we make the active, conscious decision to choose to trust in you and to trust that you're going to bring goodness and light from the darkness, then we know that we have hope. And God, we ask that you bring us that hope, you bring us that peace, and that we can rely on you in that. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.